What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
All kind of shit going on.
My bad.
Just ask your ass if you was ready. It's all good. I'll chop it off. I'll chop it off at the beginning. All right. 3, 2, 1. What up, what up, what up? It's your boy Larry. Here with my boy Measy and X. And collectively, we are 26 degrees. So happy to have you back here with us again for yet another show. Quick week, quick turnaround. Got a game. By the time y'all hear this, I'm going to try to get it dropped tonight, actually. So it'll either be ready this evening or Thursday morning. So we'll be playing Virginia. But what up, though, man? What's up to the people? Measy, what up?
Man, what's up, y'all boys, man? Game week. Tomorrow, whenever y'all hear it, man. Another day, though, man. We here.
Our life been in the last week or so. I know, you know, we whooped them people on that high school team. I know you was high off of that moment.
I didn't get too high off of it, man. That's exactly what it was, a high school team. Saw some good things, though, we'll talk about, though. Saw some good things,
yeah,
though.
So, X, what's good with you, brother?
Not much, man. Chilling on a Wednesday. Short week, like you say, short week, man. It's just been so much. I had to get prepared for Thursday, man, and tomorrow's game day, so you know, short week, man. I can't even say a short week because last Saturday was kind of a practice or a scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess we could say we had a full week and a few days, full week and a half of practice. You
know what I'm saying? That was practice, yeah. Saturday was practice. So they could just rest. You gonna be there tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm gonna be there, man. Actually, tomorrow I'm gonna probably leave the tailgate maybe like around 5 or 5:30, because I'm gonna be on the field tomorrow. Actually,
okay, that's
what I saw that menu. I saw that menu for the tailgate. X, it looked good, what? Boy.
Yeah, man.
Hey, y'all better pull up. Hey, that thing look like it's slapping. Man, y'all listening to this now? Y'all better pull up the X.
Once a year, man. We bust it down big time, man, and we finna bring out everything. Go for them, man. You know, last year we didn't have no type of tailgates, man. So I'm just happy we able to fellowship with each other, man, and enjoy each other's company, man. Tailgate, whether you're going inside the game or not, man, just come out and enjoy yourself, get some food, drinks. You'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to try. I haven't scheduled a Miami game this year. I was trying to cut back, and I went to, like, the season before last, dog. I hit the road for 5 of them. I ain't go to none of them in Miami. I went to all the road joints trying, you know. Yeah. Like I said, I'd rather kind of hit the road a little bit, show them that support out there, you know, because they say we don't travel. So I'd be like, and plus that give you an opportunity to go see a new city. So yeah. I'm like, you know, if you get a 2-for-1. So anyways, yeah, I've been cooling, man. Not too much going on. Just relaxing, man. I know if my voice sounds a little bit off right now, it is dealing with a little sinus infection. So, yeah, that's why it's a little raspier than normal. Y'all bear with me today. I guess I want to kick it off with, I tell you what, let's mix it up just a little bit. Let's go ahead and get this Connecticut Central College DeVry satellite school talk out the way real quick. I was gonna start with somewhere else.
We could call them Florida State, man. If anything.
Yo, that's wild, right? So them people said it ain't the same as losing to Jacksonville State. I say, come on, bro. What?
Ain't they both FCS schools, right?
That's it. And we both paid those schools to come play us, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So you tell me the difference. It, okay, let's say Jacksonville was supposed to be a tougher school. That's fine. Now, I think they lost the next week after they beat them. If I'm not mistaken.
They lost. They lost. They lost the week after. Yeah, they lost. They lost the week before and the week after.
And exactly. I'll say too, that score wouldn't have been what was our score? 66-0. That's not 66-0 if FSU would have played Central Connecticut.
It wouldn't have been. It was 69, I think. Yeah, 69. All we did is get in the end zone. Them people crazy. They say we delusional, right? We delusional, but we the same. I was like, yo, fam, I'm not even trying to be funny right now. Trolls, jokes aside, how can we be the same when you literally haven't won a game?
And them boys down bad, right? They down real bad right now, man.
Real bad. Yeah, I'm like, that's bad. I'm not even trolling.
They let that first game of the season take their mind to another atmosphere that they don't even understand. Like, y'all played Notre Dame tough. Okay. Like I told them, I said, man, y'all was playing for Bobby Bowden. You know, what's the Bobby Bowden game? And, you know what I'm saying? It's the first game of the season. We all know Notre Dame. Notre Dame ain't like that. You know what
ain't like that. And I told him that. I told him that on that show. I said, yo, fam, y'all blew y'all load. That's it. You gave it all you had, and now you ain't ready to get back in the saddle again. It's all good.
I did respect, Mackenzie Milton, because he did come out and say after they lost to Jacksonville State, he was like, this is what happens when you celebrate in losses.
That's what's up. That's real talk. Somebody might as well tell the truth.
He came from, I don't even want to say he came from a winning program, but he came from a winning. He won some
games. They was winning. Yeah, they was winning when he was there.
He won some games in college, and he understands. Like, man, you don't celebrate because you played a team tough. You
know, almost.
You celebrate when you win. You know what I'm saying? And it's but like I say, man, you know, right now, man, that team in Tallahassee. And I don't even want to talk about them like that. But
yeah, I was gonna say we don't give them too much energy already.
Too much airplay for them boys.
I might edit
that. But yeah, the Central Connecticut.
He said you might edit it.
Yeah, man. But that Central Connecticut game, man, basically everything that happened, I expected to happen. I expected the offense to come out firing like that because, you know, you got young guys who are hungry, man. They got to prove something, man. So you got two quarterbacks who, as soon as they got in, immediately they wanted to throw the ball. There wasn't no, coach, let's hand this ball off to get us in the groove. They were like, boy, we want to pass this ball.
Yeah, let's rip it.
You know what I'm saying? And you see TVD, he got into it immediately.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. He started striking. And as soon as the young guys got in the game, man, they immediately made plays. The only thing I would say I was disappointed in was offensive line play a little bit, man, because we gave up a sack. And somebody say they want to put it on TVD, but I'm like, if the man runs in and don't get touched,
right?
You know, quarterback can't. I don't care what type of quarterback you is. It's hard.
I saw that sack. Yeah, I heard about it. Right, I heard about the sack. I'll be transparent. Right, my boy, we have a tradition when we watch, you know, the Canes games together. We get Grand Marnier, you know, for the Orange. Right, so that's usually kind of our ritual. And we started taking shots every time Canes scored. I looked because I was like at 28-0. I said, bro, we ain't gonna make it through this game. So I ended up actually passing out like probably at the beginning of the fourth. So I didn't actually see that last quarter of the game. I went and watched the condensed version and I saw that sack. And I was like, yeah, he didn't get touched, dude. He shot right through. Yeah, so I'm with you. A little disappointed still with the O-line player. I could see essentially. O-lines could come together more, but I still see it may be a problem through the stretch of the season, to be honest with you.
I think that's the O-line really is what it is at this point.
I kind of do, too. Again, I'm trying to put some optimism on it. You know, maybe they'll gel a little better, clean up some of these mistakes.
Maybe it could be like last year, you know what I'm saying? When he got the right group on the field together, then they start playing better. Maybe I don't know. I mean, it's crazy as it sounds like, but it's the same players came back from last year. So it's like, why is it so hard? Like, it shouldn't be that hard. But we're having this problem again. Defensively, it ain't much to say because I didn't expect the offense to do anything, like much of anything. But certain players get in the game and they still out of place. Then you see the younger guys get in, man. One name I'm gonna bring up is Sam Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
I now see what the coaches see with putting him at linebacker. I always thought maybe they should leave him at defensive end because that's the position he played throughout his whole life.
Right.
But they want to put him at linebacker, Mike linebacker. And I'm like, well, why? I now see what they're talking about. He's so fast and athletic.
Mm-hmm.
He can make up for being in the wrong spot because he could get there fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Opposed to the other linebackers, they're not as fast. And when they're in the wrong spot, the play is wrong.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I see what they're saying. I'm getting it a little bit, but I still like him at defensive end. But as of now, you got to put your best player on the field.
You need him, yeah.
He needs to play my linebacker.
I don't want to take too much from the game, but that game, but it seemed like since he's been out for a while, it seems like he's been watching film in that linebacker spot too, because he just looked like in the right place, the right time, you know.
And I mean, that translates. Yeah. That does translate. Again, you can't take too much from it, but if we could take negatives, we can take the positives too, because yeah, if you out of position, you out of position. It don't matter.
He's a redshirt sophomore, right?
Yeah.
So he got time, man. He got 2 more years.
I mean, you know, we leaning on him. Did Huff get in?
Huff looked pretty decent. He's another fast guy at linebacker. So I see what they're really trying to do. They really trying to get that speed on them.
Right.
I think I see what the coaches talk about with Huff, because I don't know about Huff. He's fast. I don't know. I might be tripping. I don't know.
What you mean you don't know?
It wasn't this. What game was it?
That was Michigan State game.
Yeah, he just didn't look right to me. Like he had a lot of snaps. I don't think he had one tackle.
Now let me tell you this. Now me and fans go at this all the time because they be like, "Oh man, put James Williams at linebacker, or put Amari Carter at linebacker," and I'm like. I say, man, y'all think linebacker just going to linebacker is easy. Linebackers got to take on blocks, and they don't want to take on blocks.
Right. It's an attitude.
Yeah, it got to be an attitude, man. Like Sean Spence, he came to the show one time. He talked about taking on blocks. He said it's one or two things. He said you either going to beat them now, but they can't block you, or you're going to get blocked. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think the linebackers we got or players – I'm not going to say they're not smart enough. They're just not instinctive enough to beat them players there, which is why when they get blocked, they get blocked. You know what I'm saying? You see when we had Mike Pittman and Shaq, they're going to beat the player there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now
we're just not the most athletic guys. I mean, Shaq's still in the league.
Yeah.
You know, playing some backup. And, I mean, I give him some due. I heard Jarrett Jack give him a lot of praise, saying that Shaq is just – a super student of the game, super instinctual.
Yeah, he's been getting a lot of playing time this year for the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, and Jarrett was saying, like, yeah, he puts in that work, and he gets it, too. So, you know, shout out Shaq, man, for being that type of linebacker. And both of those boys, too, they want to hit. They want to get down there and get dirty. And if you don't want to, it's just a different thing, man. It's a different thing cleaning up that back end playing safety. And drop it down into them holes and thumping somebody. That's a different game altogether.
It's a different game, man. You know, anybody play football, no, man. They be like, oh, secondary, want to hit and tackle, man. Unless you really a thumper, you ain't really trying to hit every play.
Nah.
Man. So just imagine them telling you, boy, LeRon, you got to go play linebacker now. And coach, we play Wisconsin, boy. They got them 360-pound pulling guards, man.
Yeah, they got tractor trailers on the line. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In your head, you're like, dang, boy, I don't want to do this all game. And we talk about 4 quarters. We ain't
I had that attitude, but I know what you're saying. I always say, look, you either hit or get hit. I'd rather hit a motherfucker.
It's a difference from when we played to when these kids ain't trying to get hit, man. They like, boy, I got a career to think about, man.
Yeah, they get a little deep.
Well, us, we like, well, if we get drugged, well, they gonna talk about that for the rest of our life.
Right.
Speaking of linebackers and thumping, though, that boy Troutman was out there hit sticking Saturday. I did like seeing that, though.
Yeah, I think he just need to get a little more weight. They kind of high on him too. He's another fast sideline to sideline.
That kid right there is he gonna be dangerous, man. He one of them kids who just want to hit.
You want to hit, yeah. That's what I've heard about him.
You need that. You need that on your team. It's like he kind of remind me of like how Nate Webster was, man. Like he just he got it in him. You know what I'm saying?
Legal hits too. He's squaring up.
He got it in him. You know what I'm saying? When he hits you, he coming. He ain't right. He ain't scared of nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Want to hurt somebody, not injure him, but I want to hurt somebody. I want you to get back up.
So I want you to look in my eyes and say, "Dang, boy, you hit me."
Yeah, and pick you up so I can hit you again. That's an attitude, man. You know, you had a few DBs like that. Yeah, you Ronnie Lotz and, you know, Polamalu's guy like that. But, ain't too much more, I guess, you really could take from that game.
The young boys played. They look hungry, man.
They're going to look hungry. First of all, they finally get some snaps. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they just excited to play. They did everything I could have asked them to do. Now, the one thing, again, like people go, oh, what an upperclassman would have done the same thing. I said, well, I won't give you that 100%, and I'll tell you why. Catching the ball is catching the ball. Doesn't matter who your opponent is. Getting in front of the right guy and making the proper protection, it doesn't change. Tackling when you're supposed to make the tackle, that's you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, once the coach puts you in position, see, we lead in the missed tackles, but that's because you was in position to make a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point, you have to execute.
Exactly. Does Gervin Hall have an interception in his career?
He got one. Him and James Williams got the same amount of interceptions.
And I brought that up. That's why I brought it up. Gervin Hall's in his career, he's been with there, 4 years? He's played some FBS teams in his own right. And, you know what I'm saying, James Williams, his first game, pretty much getting a lot of playing time, gets a pick. You know what I'm saying? Being in the right place.
He looks natural.
Because I don't even know. I was watching the game. I don't even know if Gervin would have been back there at that spot to even get that pick.
Right. Yeah.
Man, it's a difference when you James Williams and Cam Kinchins are like you said, LaRonde, about Shaq, man. They students of the game. They IQ level of football is extremely high. It's something that you don't see in kids their age. And as talented as James Williams being, you really don't see it. You just say, well, he's just raw because he's just raw. Right. But he understands what he's supposed to be at. He understands the defense. He understands, okay, well, this receiver finna run this route. Let me go, you know what I'm saying, get ready and stuff like that. He understands the game. I've been watching him since he was playing in Little League. And it's like, yeah, he understands the game. And new type of players you need that understands the game and understands what they're supposed to do. One thing I got out of the game was the younger guys understand the pride level of UM.
Right.
It's like they saying, man, we don't want to be mediocre. We don't want to be sorry. You know, we want to be UM.
Right.
The older guys, they come in with that mentality and then it detours and goes somewhere else. The younger guys came coming in with it and they saying, this is what it's going to be. So it's like, when we get the opportunity, guess what? We finna make the plays. Now we finna make the coach. We finna make the coach hands sweat. Uh oh, young guys, they making plays, bro. What we finna do?
Right. We've seen that a lot, though. The young kids coming in hungry, and then like you said, it wears off. I remember Tracy Howard was talking about that. But I don't know. I don't know if this is the fan in me, but this group just seems a little different, though, man. This group seems more hungry than previous freshman groups we done had.
You know why?
They're close. They're close.
I spoke about this the other day. I say, man, because most of this class, maybe all of it, came in as winners throughout high school. So when you come in as a winner, losing is not an option for you. You know what I'm saying? You come in as a winner. So
right.
That's why I'm saying we want to win because we know how to win.
It's funny to go back real quick to a point, you know, when Shaq was at Oakley, they suck. But he didn't care. He wanted to build something. So he brought that same attitude, and they ended up being a good program by the time he left, right? He helped elevate that program. He brought that same attitude to Miami. That's one thing I loved about that kid. He was never satisfied with losing. It was never okay. You could see it pissed him off. Like, he was never all right with that shit.
Yeah. So, remember the bowl game? Like, he couldn't sit out the bowl game. He was like, right. Oh, man, I'm going to play. And he was mad because they lost. He was like, yeah, man, this ain't – we're going to lose, man. But
yeah, same thing. Yeah, so, you know, we'll get to see. And then some of the young guys are getting some more reps tomorrow or on Thursday. So I give the coaches a little credit on that for at least saying, hey, man, They find, like, you gotta just admit what you're seeing at some point.
How you think that's gonna go, L, tomorrow with the younger guys? Is that coach talk, or you think they really gonna get significant playing time? Like, well, for instance, James Williams, you think he's gonna play a lot, or are they just gonna run Gervin and Bubba back there?
James gonna play a lot. James playing a lot.
Gervin, if not
the whole game, he's gonna play a lot.
Gervin suspended, right?
He was just suspended 1 week, I heard.
Yeah, I don't know how true it was, but I heard he was suspended for more. But I don't know.
Yeah, for this week, so I'm saying Gervin couldn't get in no way.
Any intel what I was about? Anything? Because we all know the play happened. Did he just?
That's
get
what it? I heard it's about.
And did he lose his emotions and stuff?
Yeah, I heard him and T-Rob got into it.
Oh yeah, that was some embarrassing moment where you know what I'm saying. I think your pride level.
You got to swallow it at that moment.
Pride level as a coach say, well, hey man, this ain't it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now they looking at me because I'm the coach. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Hey, nah, this ain't it. So,
and as a player, you got to accept. Yeah, that was a bad one.
And T-Rock got a reputation now, and so he ain't trying to be out there looking stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm gonna tell you what what me and Streeter been saying for the longest. Once these kids signed their names, I told them about a few names that once they get to Miami, they're going to force themselves into a starting role immediately. James Williams was one of them.
Yeah, you was preaching that. I will give you credit. You was preaching that a long time.
Like, man, well, you know he gonna have to wait. I say no. That's he not that type of kid. James Williams gonna outwork and he's gonna study more than the starters. And right now you see they got him as a co-starter. That look, James Williams probably gonna start the rest of the season right now, and that's it.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what you wish for when you bring in kids of that caliber. Honestly, you never want your freshmen to just necessarily push everybody out of the way. But at the same time, man, when we're seeing guys like, okay, we seen Bubba, right? Bubba was going first round, right? Then Bubba was going second to third round. Now Bubba's probably not going to get drafted, or if he does, it'll be the fifth, sixth round from the film right now.
Missing way too many tackles.
You're right, he's missing way too many tackles. The regression is just it's just unacceptable, right? And I will put some of that on coaching, but I'm also got to put some of that on the players. It's got to be somewhat of a balance in there.
But how's he regressing with T-Rob? That's the craziest thing to me, though.
I don't know.
Okay, it's the thing. Everybody say regressing. Nobody ever think about hitting their highest ceiling already. Like maybe he's hit his highest ceiling. Like,
that's true.
Possibly.
Any regress, like, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no. Once you get here, that be it for a lot of players. You know what I'm saying? Because they be so burnt out coming out of high school, and then they might have like a year left in them once they get to college. But then you got players who gonna automatically keep getting better just because of who they are, or they work at them and stuff like that. So I don't like to use the word regress, man, because who knows?
Yeah, you're right. Some people do. That is their ceiling. You're right. Sometimes we've seen the best of them, because that's probably one issue, and T-Rod spoke on it. One issue you do have with Bubba is he is constantly trying to lay the lick. You know what I mean? And that's like, I could coach you but so much on that. Hey, man, just wrap up. Then I got to pull you, because it's like I done told you 20 times in a row, just get to him, let's sound tackle, let's wrap up. And when you just quit doing it, that's when guys, Kitchens and Williams get in the game.
He's not getting any
picks either.
You're
working out the game. Right, yeah, he's not taking the ball away, and he's missing too many times.
He's had opportunities. I remember the Bama game. If he thinks he's this type of player, he thinks he's an All-American type player, a high draft pick type player, he has to make that pick. I don't know if you guys remember early in the Alabama game.
I remember that.
Yeah, he has to make that pick. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He has to make that pick.
If you the guy everybody's saying you is, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to make that pick. That's just
right.
You're on the biggest stage of your career. Make that pick. And that's how you get drafted, by making picks in games like that. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to get drafted by making plays against Central Connecticut as a senior.
Right. That ain't it. That ain't the film they need. let's transition a little bit right here. Let's get into we you know, one thing about it, they talk down on us, but we still a national brand, no matter
big
what.
Brand, big brand. National, all over
huge
ESPN,
brand.
It's all over ESPN.
If it wasn't to talk about, they wouldn't talk about it.
Right. That was obvious. It's obvious as day at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good joke for, you know, trolls to get off. I get it. You know, you use the ammo you got. They keep using the same shit. It's really, really tired. But it is what it is. But I'm going to play this clip from Kurt Herbstreit from this recent, I think it was Saturday college game day. So I'm going to play that for us real quick. If it'll play.
Yeah. Go all the way back to 2006. It was last year that Larry Coker was the coach there. That's 15 years. Miami has averaged 7-5 since 2006. They've had 5 head coaches. You just think about, with the Orange Bowl gone, the student body has to drive 45 minutes to go to their games. You have an athletic department that clearly is not really showing that this is something that they are willing to try to make changes. President, there was an article from Barry Jackson this week that came out, said that the president basically told Blake James, hey, sports, you're on your own. That's your thing. I don't know if that's true. It was in an article. To me, college football, you look at the powerhouse programs, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, president, AD, head coach, same thing. Have all the same, their line and their vision for what needs to happen, recruiting, budget, staff, whatever it means, that's what it takes. Miami doesn't have that. So I don't think it matters who the head coach is. Until you get a president and an AD and a coach together on the same page,
yep.
I guess football doesn't matter. It matters to the alums, to the brotherhood, to you.
Right.
But I don't know if it matters to the people making decisions in Miami. And if they don't change that, it doesn't matter who the head coach is.
The same.
So yeah, that's the whole clip. You know, it's ironic because Kurt gave the, you know, he let it go on FSU when they were out there looking silly. Well, they continue to look silly, but when they first started looking silly, he took the time to speak on it. One thing I can say about Kurt Herbstreit is he's truly a fan of the game of college football. And I could tell that it bothers him when some of the traditional programs, you know, they don't have to necessarily be world beaters, but these programs are just bad. They're mediocre to bad. Your Florida States, your Michigans, your Miamis,
USC,
Texas,
Nebraska.
Nebraska, yeah. These programs, when they're down, Kirby feel the way about that. You know, he got to get up here and do this show every week, and you got to try to pretend like it's a contest between the field when we really know it's 3, maybe 5 teams that's really got an opportunity to do this thing. And I've heard him in interviews on Miami shows. Like, it's a genuine thing with him, even though he's an Ohio State guy. He's a college football guy, period. And so I when he took the time to say that, it was funny. Somebody tweeted and said that I said that on the No Cap Sunday show. I was like, yeah, but that's me and every other realistic fan. What's y'all thoughts on some of the comments he made?
I mean, the truth hurts. He was exactly right about everything. And like you said, Kurt Herbstreit is a big fan of college football. He hates seeing big time programs down, but I don't know if a lot of people know this, and you two correct me if I'm wrong. I believe when Kurt Herbstreit graduated from Ohio State, he wasn't an intern at Miami, but he was working at Miami in some kind of way, or communication, media. Have you guys heard that?
I mean, I don't know. That's something new to me.
I'm pretty sure. Kurt Herbstreit always had love for Miami. You don't hear him talk down on Miami too much. He brings light to Miami. I'm pretty sure Kurt Herbstreit, actually, while I'm talking, I'm going to look it up.
It might be because every program wanted to be like Miami, man. Miami, we set the standard of how programs are or want to be today, in 2021. Get you a coach like a Nick Saban, man, and he going to worry about everything off the field, and you, as long as you handle everything on the field, like that's what Howard Powerade that Jimmy Johnson brought to University of Miami. And that tradition just kept going, even through our hard times with probation and stuff like that. Most programs mimic themselves after University of Miami. So it's a love-hate thing for a lot of people. A lot of them would hate to say it, admit it, but it's a love-hate thing. Like, yeah, they hate UMM, but they love it because of how what we brought to the culture of college football. Like, without UMM, you still have the same old boring Penn State, Oklahoma, you know, the Nebraska, that stuff from the 80s on, you know what I'm saying? We bought a new style of football where they were like, man, look what these guys doing. They having fun. You know what I'm saying? And then the rest of the nation, they took notice.
Yeah. We left our stamp, that's for sure. Okay, Manny responded. And my thing was, he said a lot of things, right? First off, X, were you on that Zoom call? They don't let y'all
yes.
on. You were yes. in there? They ain't gonna let you ask nothing. I heard the OBB boy say they ain't gonna let no real ones ask no questions.
Nah, like the only time they'll let me ask, man, if it be like, might be a player. They not gonna let me ask Manny nothing because
you gonna ask the questions Manny don't want to answer. That's why.
Yeah, they not gonna let me get to Manny, man. I be hitting the button like, my that thing it lets you know I listen to somebody else's question and then my hand went down. I'm like, dang, what happened? But
yeah,
what it is, man. But
yeah,
Manny's a politician, man. He's gonna answer every question the political way. He said exactly what he needed to say to keep his job.
Well, I mean, they're his employer, so what else is he gonna say?
Yeah, like,
and the bottom line is, right? Kurt said it don't matter who the head coach is, that's right. Yes, it do, and it's you. So if I'm him, I'm fighting for my job. Like, yeah, what else I'm gonna say? And you wasn't wrong on everything.
Kurt Herbstreit, he did right. Not mentioning Manny Diaz's name, but everybody on God Green Earth know who Kurt Herbstreit was talking about too at the same time. But he did right not saying Manny's name, but I wish Manny didn't even comment on the thing, to be honest.
Yeah, because
he had to make a comment.
They probably told him to.
It's either Manny had to make a comment or the AD had to make a comment or the president had to make a comment. So what you gonna do? You gonna say, hey, you gonna call the AD? Hey, boy, what's up, Blake? And what Blake gonna do? Call Manny. Hey, you gotta get out in front of this thing. Like,
right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do think that the issues do lie initially with Blake, and then it rolls downhill. I think the presidency. I mentioned this when we were doing No Cap Sunday. You have to understand, and it's a similar situation that's going over at Florida, right? Florida had great success, you know, but then what was the negative press they were getting in that same time frame, right? Like, or shortly thereafter. And now Florida has risen to a pretty prestigious public university, to be honest with you, right? So those people there don't want to be a quote unquote football school because they don't want to necessarily deal with all the elements of being a fantastic program comes with, or so they fear. You have to deal. We've been dealing with that since football became a thing in Miami. If you go back and you look at, you know, that's why I told people go check the 30 for 30. You'll see that there was always a tug of war between the administration and the coaches. The coaches are going, man, we're doing everything to help make this school that much more money. We're helping getting these buildings put up, you know, your enrollments going up. You know, these things all happen because, for instance, I tell people every once in a while, I applied to UM out of state, knowing I couldn't get in. I couldn't afford to go there. I did it just like they always tell you to do, like a fantasy application. And you know what I'm saying? I actually got accepted. I cried because I knew I couldn't get in. But why did I want to go to UM? I ain't know nothing. I'm a kid. I'm 18 years old. I wanted to go for football. I ain't know their medical program or I ain't give a shit about none of that. I just want to be.
You to Miami, L?
Yeah.
Oh, you
SATs. Hard. I'm like, yeah, my SATs is actually pretty sharp. And then, you know, being a minority helps. So I was like an average student, but that was just my lack of work ethic, like, at that time. But I actually, you know, book smart. I was actually pretty book smart. I don't know what the standard is now. Back then, I think a perfect score was 16. I got like a 1200. So
yeah, you get in Miami. Once you get a over 1100, man, you pretty much get in Miami.
Yeah, that was I think they changed the scoring now, but whatever, back then it was. I'm an old head. That was 90. Now was 98. So yeah, all I wanted to do was go because of football. And so that's the war that we've been fighting ever since. Like, Florida's having some success now, but it's in spite of. They're not necessarily trying to put – that's why they'll kind of brag on being an everything school, right? Because Florida does pretty good in a lot of different sports. It's not just a football thing. Their baseball team's usually pretty good. You know, their gymnastics, swimming, tennis, all that. They just – when you're fighting that administration, it's going to be a problem. But I don't think – we need to worry about the president. Like, they're saying, oh, the president don't care. And y'all chime in if y'all disagree. I don't necessarily think he has to care. He could take a hands-off approach, I think, if he's got the right guy in place.
Like you said, he don't have to care, because what his job ain't to make the football team good. His job is to make the university good. You know what I'm saying? Right. So if, as long as my graduation rate is good, we got people enrolling, paying their tuition on time, What? You know what I'm saying? Longer, the donors are going to keep sending that money, because guess what? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you have a thing called the athletic director, because he's over the athletics department. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. So he don't necessarily have to care. And I know everybody's saying he says something like he don't care. He'll Blake James to you. But still at a point, when you're a CEO of an organization, you're the president of this university, you want everything about the university to be good, to be beneficial for your school. So if you want football, it's not beneficial for your school, then that's a problem. Because that football department does bring in a capital that you need for that school. So, you know what I'm saying? That's why I say I'm not going to say he don't care. I don't know if he does, but he knows he needs that football program.
So I was going to ask you all how true you think those statements are that the president doesn't care, but you guys pretty much summed that up, both of you. And L, piggyback, go ahead.
Well, real quick, to just shortly respond to what you were saying is, just like we look at like Dable, right? Dable's not an X's and O's guy. He just knows to get the right people to do the job. Now, that's where Frank has to get involved. He has to say, hey, man, this football thing, I'm kind of tired of hearing about it. You going to fix it or not? That's what his responsibility is.
Okay, and so that's what I was going to say, too. So when you said the president's job, he can be hands-off because it's an athletic director's job. But once all this noise starts happening, that's when he has to – become more involved.
That's when he cares, because he like, hold on, because now it's reflecting on me. They throwing my name in the dirt too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if somebody start throwing your name in the dirt, that's when you start. You never pay attention to something when somebody's saying, oh, well, your homeboy over there doing something wrong. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
Right.
But when they say, boy, you and your homeboy, hold on, what you mean? Me?
Yeah.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Now I got to give my two cents and see what's going on. So that's what he's saying, basically. Hey,
I think he has to get involved too, because not just football at Miami, the baseball program, Miami football program, that's nine national titles between those two. So he just has to get involved. I think he has to get involved. That's nine national titles between those two programs, and they both have been slumping big time the past 10 years. Well, Miami the past pretty much 20 years, but
20 if we're being fair.
Right, and Miami baseball has been slumping a lot, so he has to get involved now.
We'll see if he decides to take, you know, that CEO role and say, hey, you're just not getting it done. If you were, I don't know it. You know, I don't know the X's and O's. I don't know the coach to hire. I'm a medical guy. Okay. I couldn't tell you who to go get, but that's your job. So he should at some point, you know, if Manny don't turn this thing around this year, and my gut just says he's not going to. A successful year at this point to me would be 8-4, and I think that would buy him job security.
Yeah, he wins 8 games, he's back next year.
Yeah, and I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's good enough. I think this season was set up, especially look at the ACC right now, right? ACC is wide open. Wake Forest is 4-0. Now, you're not going to tell me Wake Forest is that damn good. Are they well coached? Sure, and that's been killing Miami throughout the ages. I think when I really, really understood the difference is when we played Kansas State and them people kicked our teeth in. I said, yo, they don't got the talent we got. What's going on here?
Hell, I forgot about that damn
Kansas State.
Dang, oh, my gosh. That's a skull drag.
It was. We were totally
that was bad, right, man.
And that's when I understood as an adult the real true power of great coaches. That's why when people talk about, you know, some of the greater coaches, I say, like, yo, y'all doing Bill Snyder a disservice. That man will never have the talent that these other programs have. But he's definitely went out there and went toe-to-toe and beat some of these more talented rosters.
I remember that quarterback was in the Heisman running that year, Klein.
Yeah, yeah. There was
They put it on us. Oh, my God, yeah. They put it on us.
That man came back at an old age to come back and coach again because it hurt him to see his school doing so bad. He's like, ah, never mind. I'll come back and see if we can get this thing back right. And he did.
Let me ask you a question, L.
Go.
How is Manny back if he wins 8 games?
Because we've accepted mediocrity. That is exactly mediocrity.
That's crazy. I don't think he'll be back if
8-4 is going to be tough at this point. Because we should be 3-1, right? Preseason, right? Everybody had us 3-1 at this point in the season. And we're 2-2. And the wins haven't looked good. The wins have been very ugly.
As bad as the ACC is, 8-4.
It'll get it, man. I'm telling you. It'll get it.
If we lose tomorrow.
Again, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be a tough road to hoe. I don't know if he can do it. 8-4 at this point will not be easy. Virginia, which we'll get into a little more detail.
That means he went in a bowl game.
No, that's regular season. I'm talking just regular season, right? That's 12 games. And then, because you know what will probably happen? If he go 8-4, we'll go 8-5, we'll probably lose the bowl game. And we're right back, you know, where we started, just above 500. You know, so that it's unacceptable to us, the fans, but it hasn't been unacceptable to the administration. And that's what Kurt was bringing up. He said we're average 7-6.
So let me ask X. X, 8-8, why do you say, so L gave me his 2 cents. Why do you think Manny's back if we win 8 games? With all this smoke and everything, why do you think he's back?
That's the word that I got, not what I think. That's the word I got. They comfortable with 8.
Say less.
I mean, 8, yeah.
It is what it is. That's crazy to me, but
look at the national media press that you don't get right now. As bad as it look, it's great for the school. Everybody's hearing that name again. You will. Most of our students are out of town students.
If we lose tomorrow, we're not going 8-4.
Well, we lose tomorrow now it's a ripple effect. Manny might lose his job.
Right, we're not winning out.
Right, and that's why I said it would be tough to pull off 8-4. 8-4 is not going to be an easy test. Every game that we got left is very winnable and very losable because we just haven't been executing at the level that needs to. All right, I'll tell you what.
See, I think otherwise. I don't think every game is winnable.
Who on that? Who we can't beat on the schedule?
It's UNC, just the way we've been. It's just the way. I understand that. It's just the way we've been looking.
That's what I'm saying.
But the way
very winnable, very losable.
Look at the remaining of our schedule. Everybody else been looking bad too. Nobody's looked like they gonna dominate us.
Right. So they're coin flips.
I get it.
That's what I'm saying. They're coin flips.
The dominating teams that look like they would dominate us, we don't play. We don't play Wake Forest.
Yeah, exactly.
We play North Carolina State,
but they look the bad one game. So it's like, don't act like.
Yeah, there's nobody out there. There's nobody on this schedule. That's a world beater. That's just the truth of the matter. NC State, I picked to beat Clemson because Clemson's offense is just looking god awful, right? The defense is still pretty good. Now they lost Breezy for the year, so that's going to be a big knock on them. But
they lost who?
Breezy, the big white dude. Yeah.
Oh, so he is boy. So Shipley. He is out for the season.
Not Shipley. That's the running back.
Shipley got hurt. Shipley got hurt Saturday too, though.
Yeah, they say it's not an ACL, or he's not done for the season, is what they said. So we'll see how that.
Well, that was the last big game. North Carolina. I mean, not North Carolina. Clemson had. I mean, they got a cakewalk the rest. Right, they got a cakewalk the rest of the way.
I mean, they're going to end up winning, and they don't look good.
Right. They're going to have to play Wake Forest. They're going to have to play Boston College. They still got no. I don't know if they got to play Boston College.
Their schedule is sweet. I'm telling you. Yeah. No, their schedule is sweet.
I think they're equally as sweet, man. We just so traumatized because we know this. How long we been hearing our schedule sweet? At least the last 3 years. And it has been. We just been sweeter is the problem. They looking at us like we sweet. That's the problem. They like, oh, that's Miami. That's Kate. We'll take that.
You know, they do play Wake Forest.
Yeah, that's on their side. Yeah, they got to play Wake.
Okay.
So yeah, you know, and if you watch Clemson, they just look bad. So yeah, this is wide open for Miami this year, right? We got a great opportunity. We could go all the way to the ACC title game. We can line it up and we could play either, you know, probably Wake Forest or Clemson, right? We're going to blow it. We ain't even going to get to that game.
I was going to say that, right? We're going to blow it.
The season starts today.
It does.
Season starts today. The way the ACC Coastal going, the way the whole ACC going, man, it's just – it's up for grabs, man. Wake Forest looking good right now, but then, you know, hey, any given Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it can be a change of plans, you know what I'm saying? So, we play Virginia tomorrow, man. I think this is Manny Diaz's legitimate opportunity to prove that he deserves the job.
Yeah, and turn this around. Listen, I don't want anybody listening to think this is my wishes. Absolutely not. I do not wish for that to happen. I'm just like y'all. I'm a little shell-shocked. I came in this year the most optimistic I've been about Miami football in quite some time. And, boy, I got slapped in the mouth. First game. I knew we wasn't beating them. Not crazy. But I said, yeah, let's see if we can give them a showing. We didn't. We didn't give them a showing. So, okay, well, that's Bama. Bama does that to everybody. All right, cool. We'll let that one ride. Then we go. We play App State. Right, and you go, well, App State's a good program, tough team. I say App State will hang in for a half, and then we should beat App State 42-20, something like that. That was my vision, man. It was a dog fight down to the end. Came to the kick
at home,
like damn, okay. All right, Michigan State, yeah, they got some things going, but this will be the game we get this thing, you know, turn around. All right, this is what we kind of get this thing headed in the right direction. We let every opportunity we had to put that game away. Oh, we let it slip, right? We should have destroyed those.
Slip, not the word. As close as that game was in the fourth quarter, and we lost by 21.
Right, yeah,
the word, right.
Well, I only say slip because we should have dominated the first half. That score shouldn't have been that close.
We should have been winning by 2-3 touchdowns.
Right.
By easy.
By the time we got to the fourth quarter, we just gave up. We
were like, ran out. Right. So. I said, damn, this is who we are now? And the only thing else we got left, you know, we played them kids last Saturday. So that's why I say it that way. It is not, trust me, my wishes is that he turns this thing around, we get the light turned on, and we sail all the way to the sunset. But
I think whoever scheduled that schedule, man, they were supposed to make Central Connecticut the second game. Right?
Yeah.
That was Mark Rick, I believe. Mark Rick scheduled a Bama game,
but no,
I ain't worried about Bama game. I mean, if you want to be the best, you got to play against the best. You want to beat them, you got to beat them. You know what I'm saying?
Right, so I agree with that. I saw you lose
the Bama game. Yeah. The second game can't be a game where it's going to be a tough game. App State, obviously, man, is an up and coming program, and they win in 9 to 10 games per year. We should have had a tune up game. We should have played Central Connecticut the second game of the season.
If Mark Rick scheduled that game, Mark Rick went to App State, what, 3-4 years ago, handled them boys easy. Mm-hmm. So he might have been thinking.
You talk about a seasoned coach. He's seasoned. Mark Rick knows.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But he's not here to coach that game now. But when this all was going on with scheduling, he might have been thinking, oh, this App State is, you know, respectable program, but it's App State. You know what I mean? So, because at the time, that's probably what he was thinking, but he's not here to coach the game. But he already handled those boys, so he's trying to make the schedule as good as possible.
With five plays. All we did is throw it. All we did is throw it.
But Mark Rick's not here to coach that game now. So that's I hate when some coaches do that. Like, they'll schedule games like, okay, 5 years out. And
yeah, but you don't know 5 years. And then I don't mind.
Yeah, chances are high that same coach's not going to be there.
I don't mind Central Connecticut on that week because that gave us like a – so we ain't too beat up going into this Virginia game when we get ready to start ACC play. So I didn't mind it from that perspective. One more thing, and then I want to get into the Virginia game before we get up out of here. I propose that the best idea or best method for Manny to hold on to his job is to roll out the Young Bucks. I think it would give him a bit of a built-in excuse if it fails somewhat. And if it works, then, okay, cool. I'm genius. I knew what to do. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, I've been saying that for the longest. I say, man, at this point, the noise is so loud. The only way you keep your job is by saying, okay, well, I'm finna go with the young guys, see if they can light a fire up under the rest of the team, and we go from there. Granted, excuse me, if it don't work, hey, we went out with a bunch of young guys, you know what I'm saying? But the future is looking bright because now these guys get game experience. We're going to continue to get in great recruiting classes, and we could build from there. You can't build from seniors who's been here for 5-6 years and they still messing up. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lose my job for y'all, you know what I'm saying?
So, right. And he's been there recruiting there for a long time, too. So that's the one thing I didn't like about when he was talking about in that his response, oh, it takes 4 classes. Man, you've been since 2016, and you ain't found a linebacker yet. You know, that's why we sitting here moving Keontra to linebacker. That was on you. Mark ain't touched that defensive side of the room. He knew it was, you know, he gave you the key. So that's on you as well. That's why I can't – he's right, but he's wrong because he's been there. So I'm like, you're kind of digging your own grave in that sense.
I agree with what y'all saying, but this is my thing. If you guys said Manny is safe with 8 wins, what if the young guys don't give him 8 wins? What if we see promise, but the young guys don't give him 8 wins?
Built-in excuse. Because I could say, yeah, they still had a learning curve. They still got some things to work out, but they were still the best players to put on the field. Built-in excuse. The seniors, like X was just saying, you coached them. You recruited them. You coached them, and they ain't getting it done. That's all you. And the defense hasn't been god awful. I said that this year. I felt like the defense has exceeded its talent level. I don't think we're as talented as we have been in past years, especially at defensive end. Right? Like, come on, we rolling McLeod out there now. Chance should have his spot, and I get putting McLeod, you know, senior thing, being dedicated to the program, blah blah blah. He's not better than Chance Williams.
Period. When do you stop doing that though? Like your job's on the line because of that, not just because of that. But dang, you know what I mean?
It's part of it. Yeah. No, I'm with you. But you know, it's hard to get coaches to like their philosophy is their philosophy, right? That's why when people were talking about again, I hate to bring up this shitty program, but I was arguing with one of the fans of that shitty trailer park program up there, right? His argument was that they were going to keep Mike Norvell and they have the money to fire the assistants. Probably not going to happen. Why? Because the coach believes in his guys. You're trying to force him out. He's going to say, no. Remember Al Golden, Mike D'Onofrio? Everybody say, yo, just get rid of Mike. Think you can turn this thing around. Wouldn't do it. Why? That's his guy. And coaches are stubborn in that way. So he's going to be stubborn in thinking, no. The mental errors that these young guys are going to make, I can't risk it. I got to put the seasoned vet out there. He'll do the right thing. even if he's not athletically as gifted. And sometimes, you know, like X mentioned earlier, the fact that these guys are skilled athletically as they are, they can maybe be a little out of position, but their ability helps them get back to where they need to be. But his, you know, and it's not just us. You know, I watch other programs. It's something
Florida was talking about that with Hevesy and stuff. Like Hevesy's been on Mullen's staff for like 15
Bernie
years.
Has been a guy I've heard a lot. They, you know, they just been like, man, you got to get this kid off the field. That's just something that some coaches, they're just going to roll with for better or worse. And for us, it, unfortunately, it's worse. We've been on here a minute, man. Let's get into this Virginia game. Let's see. Virginia. I'll give y'all a couple of
Man, Virginia got an offense, a passing offense. They got Armstrong, the quarterback. He going to throw the ball, what, like maybe 50 times a game?
Yeah, let's see. I'll give us a couple of little quick notes about the team and all overall. Like X mentioned, the quarterback, Brennan Armstrong, he is right now number two in the nation in passing, 1,700 yards passing. They got a couple of guys. Let me see who I want to highlight. Jelani Woods, a grad transfer student from Oklahoma State, huge kid. He's gonna be a problem, especially with our linebackers. He is 6'6", 6'7", about 245. So he's gonna be a matchup nightmare.
Oh, but no, didn't the tight end? I think he went down in practice this week, right? Or something like
that. Oh, didn't hear that. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know how much he's gonna play. He might end up playing, but he might not play a lot. So.
Well, thank God for small favors if that be the case. Because I, when I saw him, I was like, oh, my God, that is going to murder. We're going to get this kid in the first round like we did Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, it's going to be ugly. So that may help us out. The leader receiver.
Yeah, we got Eric Ebron drafted.
Oh, absolutely. First round.
Yeah. We had a lot of people drafted.
He was gifted, but, yeah, he wasn't no first rounder. Wicks be the top receiver. Right now, 22 receptions, 460 yards. He's averaging 20 a catch. I mean, he can stretch the field, obviously, and he's got four touchdowns, so he can find the end zone. Kemp is their second lead receiver. He's been there for a while. I remember that kid. Just a solid veteran kid. He's got 25, 281, and three touchdowns. So their running game, though, is pretty whack.
Hey, running game.
Yeah, their running game is pretty darn awful. It's – Talua Papa is their leading rusher.
What are you, 80 yards?
80 yards, yeah. That's the leading rusher. So, you know, there's again, here's an advantage for us. And I'll give y'all a couple more quick little stats about the team. Very odd for Virginia and Bronco Mendenhall, but right now they are 101st in total defense. They're giving up an average of 423. So they're down pretty bad. And the flip side of the coin, though, they're number seven in total offense because they do have the ability to sling the ball all over the field. Virginia's usually a pretty decent game for us. All-time record, we're up 11-7. But they usually give us a hell of a game.
Manny Diaz is 2-0 against Virginia. The last two games he won.
Yeah. And they're at home, and oddly enough, it's the third one at home. You get another game at home.
Yeah, so I said that last week. I didn't talk much about Central Connecticut. So this last week I was talking about Virginia. And they're like, hey, man, we still don't play nobody good. I said, man, but we play Virginia on Thursday next week. Like, stop all the complaining. That's when we're going to be able to say if the season's going to be something decent or not. You know what I'm saying? You play Virginia. So Manny Diaz is 2-0. Defense looked pretty good, pretty decent against them. Them coaching it. Well, obviously, Blake Baker was calling the defense the last 2 years. So we'll see something different this year with Manny.
Yeah, they ran like three quarterbacks last year on a – it's like a three quarterback system in the same game.
Yeah, one of the motherfuckers had 99 on, bro. I was like,
right. Armstrong. Not Armstrong.
No, that's
not Armstrong. It was the black dude.
Black dude. They play wide – yeah. He played wide out too. Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
Matter of fact, he's playing again this year. He played quarterback, running back, receiver. He played all positions. So
yeah.
I you know what? I do kind of feel good against Virginia, man. Because like I say, Manny is 2-0, so he knows how to coach against them. And I think Lashley getting a feel to how to use his offense now, especially having Tyler and Jake back there, two quarterbacks who are passers first. You know, like I spent on the show earlier today, I say, man, King being the quarterback and our running game not being as effective, you have to implement the run more with King than the pass because King is a good runner at quarterback. So you say, well, I'm going to do plays to make the run game benefits more. And that's probably why we didn't see a lot of vertical passes with King than when we see with TBD or Jake, because we don't want them to run the ball. You know what I'm saying? We just want them to throw. Like, y'all throw the ball, get the ball, hand the ball off to the runners. So I think the offense is probably going to step up big time.
Let's touch on that real quick. Two things, because I kind of
– Who do y'all prefer to start?
Well, that's one thing I was about to – we'll get into
real quick. TBD.
All right, is King out?
King is – they got him listed as questionable. He's not playing tomorrow.
So. I didn't suspect you would. All right, so King's out. King, we were going to touch on this real quick, and we ain't got to get a deep dive on it, but the tweet and delete, the crying, laughing face. What you make out of that, Measy?
King's going through a lot, man. It's his last year. He's made a lot of money with the NIL, which helps him in his own right, but he's going through a lot, man. The injuries, and I mean, we know Miami fans. Like, when we mad, we mad. They gonna tag you. You know what I mean? They're gonna do all that. So he's just going through a lot and everything. And I think he had a young player mistake. And as soon as he recognized what he did, he deleted it. That's my 2 cents on it.
I believe it was David Late that said maybe he was talking about how Manny said, you know, the recruiting class thing. And I was like, huh, it's an interesting take. I thought he might be laughing going, bro, we don't need no more damn recruiting class. This team old as hell. One of the oldest, most seasoned teams out there. We ain't getting it done. So that's laughable. I don't necessarily think that's what it was, but I do think that was a good take on that. I was like, man, that's an interesting take.
It's funny.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. If you were seeing, yeah. Like, oh, now we need more players. Like, bro, come on, man. We got – literally one of the most experienced teams out there.
91%.
Yeah, we're older. We should be older, stronger, wiser than these teams we're playing, you know, outside of, you know, the talent level, of course, at Alabama is going to trump that. So I thought it was a little bit more reaction to the fans. You know, you mentioned it a little bit pre-show X. It's like, you love me, you hate me, then you love me again. And,
yeah, you know, that's my take on it.
That gets to be a thing.
When I'm here, you know, when I was doing everything right, you know, y'all was loving me. I'm king. I'm this and that. And then when the depth chart come out, y'all complaining that my name is still up there. Y'all say, oh, well, why King name is on the depth chart still? Because I'm the quarterback. Like, what you think?
And I always say that because I knew he was injured. So I was like, I mean, he had a sling on. I was like, he's not Thursday. But I get it from a coaching perspective of trying to keep it a mystery. So anyways, we'll get to the
game. Still saying he's the quarterback, man. So you know how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. And he will be. He will
be. Miami, man, coming to Miami in all sports, you got to have thick skin to be able to take some criticism. Because we're going to criticize you no matter if it's good or bad. You're going to get criticized.
And that's what I was saying. I think he recognized what he was doing wrong, and he adjusted it. But let me ask you all this. What who do y'all prefer at quarterback right now?
TBD, baby.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna get into. Yeah, we'll get
I want TBD to be the quarterback, man, because I play quarterback, man. I can just see the arm. When he throws the ball, I say, yep, that's it. You know what I'm saying? And Jake got it too, but I just think TBD understands the offense a lot more right now.
I think Yeah, you roll with CVD. First off, he's earned it. He's been in the program longer. Garcia, I think, is going to have has a bit of an it factor, a plus factor down the road, but it's just not his time to shine. Do you guys think we may see some Garcia?
Yeah. We're going to see both of them. Because as of right now, you still say King, Derrick King is still your quarterback, your starting quarterback, when he's available. So right now, you got to think and say, well, what happens if, Derrick King can't, he doesn't come back? You got to have something on both of the quarterbacks who you trying to put in the game. You can't just say, okay, well, we just going to roll with TVD, and then he's not it. Now we got to try to figure out what's up with Jake. So you have a game last week where you seen both in and out. Do the same thing similar this week. Virginia defense ain't no stud. They not no world-class beaters right now. So it's like we maybe could take that chance right now. What other opportunity do we have to take that chance, being that we play Virginia and their defense isn't good?
If Manny's trying to keep his job, he needs to play both. I feel like there's no point of only playing one of them because
I think
neither has proven anything.
Right. I think if the game goes how it honestly should, I mean, they are. I'm trying not to be too optimistic, right? They're bad. Like Virginia, they can move the ball around, but they can't stop the ball at all. They're just not a good team. This is a team where we really should have an opportunity to get some confidence and momentum built up. That's just the truth of the matter. I'm a little shook because I've been coming with that energy and getting slapped in the face. But yeah, they've got a few weapons there. You know, the Brennan Armstrong kid is looking kind of, he was advertised as being a little bit underrated, and he's starting to show up and look pretty good with the talent he has. Cool. But they can't stop a nosebleed, man. So this should be an opportunity to get this thing turned around. You mute him, Easy.
I feel like it balances each other out. They can't stop a nosebleed, but we haven't been able to move the ball. So that's what worries me about this game. Like, if we come out and score 25 points, I'm going to be like, okay.
We moved the ball. We just weren't getting in the end zone.
Yeah, we ain't scoring. Yeah,
right, that's what I mean, though. If we're not scoring, like, if we – this game, we can't score in the 20s in this. If we don't score 30-plus, there's a problem, especially against Virginia defense. That's what worries me. They can't stop a nosebleed, but we haven't been able to put the ball in the end zone.
I think the pressure is going to be on the offense because being that Virginia can move the ball and score, lastly, you got to score.
Yeah, got to get these points.
Don't rely on Manny Diaz defense to shut them down. You know what I'm saying? These people scoring. They putting up almost 500 yards a game, and the quarterback having 4-5. They can score. They can move the ball. Lastly, you got to do what you do. Like, don't rely on the defense. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let us go and let us be up by 14 points and let Manny Diaz send an exotic blitz, out of nowhere. And then, now the defense looking good because we up.
Right.
So it's got to be something like that.
And I think Manny's going to dial up a couple of things. They're going to get a little shaken up. I don't expect him to be incredibly comfortable all day long. Again, because he's pretty good, but the weapons around him are so. It's up to Manny to not let these kids make, they NFL money on Thursday evening, because I don't think you have NFL players on that side of the ball really outside of the quarterback. I think the quarterback could be like a late round pick. Some teammate I think will take a flyer on him, depending on how the rest of the season shakes up.
And the tight end is if the tight end.
And the tight end, right. And the tight end if he's healthy. He would be a big problem. If he's not playing, that's a big weapon to lose right there. So this is an opportunity right here Thursday evening, man, to really get this thing. Because confidence is a part of it. You got to feel like you're going to win. Like, to go play football, you got to line up every week and feel like you're going to win. Or you're going to lose. So,
I mean, go back to Alabama game, right? When Alabama walked on the field, they immediately knew they was winning the game. Not saying they knew they was going to win the game before they got there. When they walked on the field, they said it, and I immediately knew, yeah, boy, they finna kick our ass. you can just see the feeling, and you can see it. And I'm like, yeah, this. So I play.
That's when confidence and talent meet each other, right? Because they got it, and they got the talent too. So, you know, they have every right to feel that way. These guys have to restore that feeling in themselves.
Yeah, they just gotta walk out there and just say, man, we know we're gonna win this game, man. We gonna make y'all into believers. You know what I'm saying?
Rooster's gonna be back.
Rooster's available. I mean, just doing the Zoom with Lashley. Lashley was like, Rooster's available. I'm happy to have him back in the offense. And that's all he said. So
do we think he's two?
Hey, he better be.
I don't know. They might put Cody out there.
Hey, he better be. If he eat, man, Rooster better be close to one, if anything. So
he better be out there. He ain't getting one. We know that. Cam will get the start.
They better give him equal carries or something. You got to have Rooster on the field.
I think, and that's the sad part, is because we mentioned earlier, the O-line isn't giving Cam his best shot either.
Yeah, because
Cam does have some explosives. They can't deny that. Now, well,
Cam is fast. Everybody thought Cam was slow. When Cam broke that run and he broke away from everybody, everybody was like, well, damn, man, what that been?
This is the enigma, though, with Cam. This is what I was about to say. Cam going down on first contact. That's what he looked like, a bowling ball, right? Like, ain't nobody going to just be able to knock this boy down. He ain't got the greatest of balance.
Yeah, no, nah, he's not that. He's not. Cam is a zone blocking scheme, Cam won't be great at it. Because he can run to that zone and he could cut back, and that's what he'll do. You know what I'm saying? But
right,
and really Cam to just run into this hole and break that first tackle. You know, if it gotta be an arm tackling tackle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if it's a linebacker that's coming to hit you, all right, man, we got 2 yards on that play.
And that's shocking to me because he just looked the part. He looks like just that big guy that can, you know, shed those tackles. And the other thing is, I'm hoping Lashley this game decides to go with just more pure run plays for two reasons. Because for one, King's not going to play, so we know the RPO won't be as effective. TVD can pull it now. Don't get me wrong; he's athletic enough to pull it, but he's not going to have the explosiveness that you would get with De'Eric. And that helps the O-line as well because, hell, they don't know if it's a run-up pass yet until they look up. Like, what are we doing? You know, you got to figure it out some because they don't know if the quarterback kept it or if they handed it off or they threw it, right? So hopefully we get to see. He said he thought it was time to add more of that to the repertoire. I really hope he does that, and I think that'll help us tremendously in that game.
I think the vertical game is going to help the run game a lot because now you can't stack the box. You got to have that extra man back, deep third, playing all type of coverages. And that way, the O-line only got to block 5 players now. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got to block 7. You know what I'm saying? It'll be different if you had that type of running back who could just really – yeah, it don't matter if you got 7 guys down there. He's going to break. You know what I'm saying? And then at tight end, we don't have that efficient enough tight end blocking. Well, even if the tight end come in to help block, you know what I'm saying, it's not much, you know what I'm saying, like we had previously. So the vertical game, I think just by having Jake and TVD back there that could throw the ball down the field, that's going to help the offense a lot, man, because now you got to play deep balls.
The thing is, though, and this is the same look we got against Michigan State, and Rhett brought that up too as well, they're not going to play us as much bump and run. Like, they're going to be off. They're going to be soft, bend but don't break, right? We have to entice them into coming up. Like, Tyreek got whooped on that one play. People are like, oh, he was just trying to make a play and get aggressive. Try to change the game, swing the game. It's an opportunity. But, you know, they took advantage of that. So what they're going to do, for the most part, I expect Virginia, unless they switch up, you know, the way they call game, I would expect Virginia to play some soft coverages.
A lot of
underneath stuff. Like you see Rambo may get off again with all the little short passes and let him do his thing. See someone make him miss a tackle. Hopefully Brinson gets those opportunities as well. And I think what they're willing to do is just give it up and then try to lock us down in the red. So red. That's where it's going to be. Yeah, that's what's going to be crucial. Now, if we can get them uncomfortable with that because we're scoring in the red zone, then that's when what you're talking about, the vert game, I think becomes a hell of a weapon. And I think that could really put the nail in the coffin on them.
I would like to see the offense do? If we're going to have Mallory out there, I would like to see them move Mallory to the slot. And if you do put the tight end and put a Royal back in tight end, natural tight end spot, well, Mallory is effective at the slot because he's a long strider. So all that short route for him doesn't work for him because he got to get in and out. And he's not that fast getting in and out his routes.
Right.
So, and he's more effective in the slot anyway.
He's more Jimmy Graham. We're just not using him. Yeah, I agree to his strengths. And again, we mentioned it last time. Just more 12 personnel in general. I really want to see Arroyo out there more. I think the kid is special in his own right. Get him out there, man. We ain't that talented at tight end right now. Haven't really seen too much Larry Hodges this year.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I want to say we're not as talented because we have pass catching tight ends.
Larry. I won't not kid you. We haven't been using the personnel. I give you that. Yeah.
But
we're not super deep though, just bodies wise. Mamorelli, more of a blocking tight end.
Yeah,
he's been dealing with an injury. I'm not sure if he's back healthy yet.
I think he's still out.
Still banged up. So we're a little thin as far as actual bodies.
Khalil is behind Larry. He's another pass catching tight end.
Kind of H back types.
Yeah. But
a little bit smaller.
You gotta just use them when you have the opportunity. You know?
Yeah, you brought him in, so figure it out. Yeah, you don't bring these guys in. All right, yeah, you know he's a 6'2" tight end. All right, well, get the ball to the 6'2" tight end. You know, however you got to do it, because they are. You're right; they're talented. These are guys that can catch the rock and can make a little something happen once they get it. I tell you, what, I think we might have lost Measy.
Texas said somebody's his Wi-Fi this thing that
went. Yeah, it was kind of jumping in and out. I saw that. So I'll tell you what, X, we'll just give score predictions and we'll get on out of here, man.
What you got? Score prediction. I think I said earlier 35-31, you want?
35-31. I will go. All right, for the fans, I'm gonna do this, man. I'm gonna go optimistic land. For the last time this year, if I look like a dummy after this, don't be mad at me. I'm gonna change my whole perspective on this. I'm gonna give us a great game. We're gonna show out in Hard Rock, even though this never really happens with Virginia. It's rare because the last year was what I think 17-14. And I think the year before that was
17-9.
Right? Yeah. So it's gonna be rare, but I'm calling us to win this game. I think it's gonna be a bit of an offensive awakening. I'm gonna go 42-24.
That's a big number.
It's a big one, man. I'm trying to inject some energy through the universe to this program. Oh, we got Measy back. Measy, give us your score prediction.
That should be the score. So my score is going to be 31-24 Miami.
Okay. A little closer. All right.
31-24 Miami.
I don't know what the spread is.
I think our defense steps up some.
The spread is 5.5.
So they cover. Okay.
Right. I think 31-24. I have a hard time seeing the score in 40-something points until I see it. That's my only thing.
Oh, no. I said it was I put a lot of sugar on that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to inject some positivity through the universe, bro. I hope this translates all the way down to Miami, man. Get this energy to Coral Gables. Let's get out there. Let's get energized. Let's whoop something, man. It'd be fun. Listen, guys, it'll be fun to just whoop something, man. Yeah. I can get wasted on a Thursday night. I'm already not working Friday because we're playing a late game. So Friday OT for me, all right? I'm like, nah, they like, you working Friday? I'm like, nah, you know the schedule, dog. Don't even play with me like that. You know it. You know the vibes. It's Thursday night game. I see y'all Monday. But, yeah, so with that, we'll get on out of here, man. Great show, fellas. I'm gonna try to get this edited and out to the people tonight. Thank y'all for joining us once again. Until next week. Peace.
All right, man, y'all. Y'all be good out there, man.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna let the band deal with this. Yeah.
It's 26 degrees.